Anyway, there comes a time in a girl's life when she needs to take the bull by the horns, or some other appropriate body part, and take charge of her life. And this is what I just did. I made a phone call, and I invited one of the scary men over for a visit. Now I'm trying to decide if I should let him in. My fear is that this could be an experience similar to the time when at age 9 I got carried away in a Wonder Woman fantasy, fell off the Cruzac's garage roof, destroyed Mrs. Cruzac's prize rosebush, ripped my shorts and flowered cotton underpants, and spent the rest of the day not realizing my ass was exposed. Mental eye roll. Get a grip. There's no reason to be nervous. This is the will of God. After all, didn't I pick this man's name out of a hat tonight? Well, actually, it was a bowl, but still, this is a cosmic meeting. All right, so the truth is, I cheated a little and peeked when I picked. Hell, sometimes fate needs some help. I mean, if I could rely on fate to do the job, I wouldn't have had to make the stupid phone call, would I? Besides, I have some things going for me. I'm prepared for the task ahead. Man-eater dress, short and black, ankle strap heels, glossy red lipstick, box of condoms hidden in my sweater drawer, gun fully loaded on standby in the cookie jar. Stephanie Plum, woman on a mission. Take him down, dead or alive. Just seconds ago, I heard the elevator doors slide open, and I heard footsteps in the hall. The footsteps stopped outside my apartment door, and I knew it was him because my nipples contracted. He rapped once, and I stood paralyzed, staring at the lock. I opened the door on the second knock and stepped back, and our eyes met. He showed no sign of the nervousness I felt. Curiosity, maybe, and desire. Lots of desire. Desire in spades. "Howdy," I said. He stepped forward into the foyer, closed the door, and locked it. His breathing was slow and deep, his eyes were dark, his expression serious as he studied me.
"Nice dress," he said. "Take it off."
"Maybe some wine first," I said. "Procrastinate," I thought. "Get him drunk. Then if it's a disaster, he might not remember." He slowly shook his head.
"I don't think so."
"Sandwich?"
"Later. A lot later."
I did some mental knuckle cracking. He smiled.
"You're cute when you're nervous."
I narrowed my eyes. I hadn't been shooting for cute when I'd set this up and fantasized the evening. He pulled me into him, reached behind my back, and slid the zipper down on my dress. The dress dropped from my shoulders and pooled at my feet, leaving me in my slut shoes and Victoria's Secret barely there string bikinis. I'm 5'7", and the heels added another 4, but he still had an inch on me. He had a lot more muscle, too. His hands skimmed the length of my back, and he looked me over.
"Pretty," he said.
He'd seen it before, of course. He'd had his head under my skirt when I was 7. He'd relieved me of my virginity when I was 18. And in more recent history, he'd done things to me that I wouldn't soon forget. He was a Trenton cop, and his name was Joe Morelli.
"Remember when we were kids and we used to play choo-choo?"
he asked. "I was always the tunnel and you were always the train." He hooked his thumbs into the waistband of my panties and inched them down.
"I was a rotten kid," he said.
"True."
"I'm better now."
"Sometimes." This got me a wolfish smile.
"Cupcake, don't you ever doubt it."
And then he kissed me, and my undies floated to the floor. Oh boy. Oh boy. Chapter 1. 5 months later. Carol Szabo was standing on the outermost guardrail on the bridge spanning the Delaware between Trenton, New Jersey, and Morrisville, Pennsylvania. She was holding a regulation-sized yellow fire brick in the palm of her right hand, with about 4 feet of clothesline stretched between the brick and her ankle. On the side of the bridge in big letters was the slogan, "Trenton makes and the world takes." And Carol was apparently tired of the world taking whatever it was she was making, because she was getting ready to jump into the Delaware and let the brick do its work.